Hand me the hotline phone. Batman and Robin must be informed of this dire emergency that threatens Gotham City.
Welcome back to the History of Comics, the Short Runs. I'm your host, Dan Oakes. I'm a comic book collector from St. Louis, Missouri. Welcome to the last episode of the first season. We started this season off with Marvel's The Human Fly from 1970s. Then we went to The Black Goliath, another Marvel title. And then we switched over to DC for The Night Force, which was a DC title in the 1980s. And today we're going to be covering another DC title. This one comes from DC's Elseworld, and this is called Batman Nevermore. So who are we talking about today? In 2003, DC put out a 5-issue miniseries under their Elseworlds title called Batman Nevermore. Elseworlds stories take DC characters and place them in stories outside of the normal continuity. In this instance, Batman, our favorite Caped Crusader, is more of a primitive version of himself set in the 1930s. He is still Bruce Wayne for all practical purposes. He lost his parents as a child. He's wealthy. He's part of the aristocratic society. The story takes place in Baltimore, Maryland, but the term Gotham is used within the story as the name of a gentleman's club rather than an actual city. Within the story, we meet Edgar Allan Poe, not as the famed author of short stories of the macabre, but rather as a fledgling reporter for the Baltimore Sun. Edgar Allan Poe, as you may recall, is a real American author. He is most notably known for his short stories, such as Murders in the Rue Morgue and The Cast of Amontillado. According to the Susan Jaffe Tane Collection, a repository of information on the famous author, they state, throughout his life, Poe received most of his income from the poems, stories, and reviews he submitted to magazines and newspapers. In all, Poe contributed writing, and in some cases, editorial services, to more than 30 periodical publications. His work appeared in a number of papers at the time, so to say that Edgar Allan Poe as a character was a news reporter for the story is not a stretch. Len Wein, the writer for this series, taps into this little-known history of Edgar Allan Poe and weaves a tale of suspense with DC's most famous detective, Batman. The comic itself is told from the first person by Mr. Poe. He narrates the different panels while still having dialogue between himself and other characters in the story. The story runs through all 5 issues of the series. The premise of the series is that there is a series of murders that occur, and Batman and Edgar Allan Poe team up and attempt to solve the mysteries. There are bits of themes and descriptions of things from the writings of Edgar Allan Poe. The Batman in the series is easily recognized as the Batman we are all familiar with, yet it is set in the 1830s with his costumes and mannerisms fitting into that time period. Where did I first come across this comic book? I purchased this series off the shelf as it came out in the summer or spring of 2003. At the time, I was buying comics weekly at a small comic shop in Kirkwood, Missouri called The Fantasy Shop. The shop carried new releases and was situated in a great location with a nearby ice cream shop, restaurants, and coffee houses. I could park my car in the early evening, grab my comics, and find a place to grab a drink as I read through my stack. I bought each issue as it came out. I don't recall what drew me to the series, other than seeing the first issue and then adding it to my pull list. I didn't realize it was only going to be 5 issues, For a long time, I thought I was actually missing a sixth issue. You see, it didn't make sense to me that their series would only have five issues. I know it says it clearly on the cover, but I wasn't thinking. I was used to 4 or 6 or 12 issue limited series, not 5. My brain couldn't quite process that. I recall reading the issues that they came out, but I didn't remember the story until I actually reread it for this episode. Batman Nevermore has a cover date of June 2003. It is considered to be in the modern age of comics, which goes from 1992 to the present, which is a really big window. But essentially during this time, you start to see big names like Rob Liefeld, Todd McFarlane, Jim Lee. This is a huge speculation market in the 90s, and then you kind of see the bottom drop out from the comics industry at the end of the 90s, and then the 2000s, it seems like DC just turns it on and does some great series. And this is one of those great series from that time period. Interestingly enough, Gotham by Gaslight, which is another Batman Elseworlds story, came out in 1989, and it's considered to be the first officially published Elseworlds story. And in that story, it's set in a Victorian era where Batman fights Jack the Ripper. So you can see that this has this roots kind of going back to around 1989, pulling Batman out of the current continuity and placing him in another time period. The creative team for this 5-issue series is the same throughout all 5 issues. The writer is Len Wein, the artist is Guy Davis, the letterer is John E. Workman, and the colorist is Jeremy Cox. Len Wein was a comic book writer and editor, best known for co-creating DC Comics' Swamp Thing and Marvel Comics' Wolverine, see Hulk 181/180, and for helping revive the Marvel superhero team, the X-Men, in Giant Size X-Men from 1975. He did pass away in 2017. Guy Davis is a famous artist in and out of the comic industry. He did the Hellboy spinoff, BPRD. John Workman had his first published work for DC Comics and was in the 1976 title Cobra, K-O-B-R-A. And later on, he worked on a lot of titles, including Detective Comics, Swamp Thing, Starfire, Superman Family, and many more. So you can see he has some crossover work with Len Wein. Jeremy Cox has worked for both Marvel and DC on several notable titles, including Detective, Spider-Man, Promethea, Mage, Avengers Academy, DMZ, and Grendel. What type of comic is this? The paper for this comic is fantastic. It is a smoother newsprint than that of some of the comics from the 1970s. To me, some of that paper from the 1970s is like sandpaper. It takes color really well. The range of colors is far more than that of older comics. There is some weight to the paper, but is not the heft of, say, Baxter paper. It has a cover price of $2.50. The Elseworld logo is in the upper right-hand corner, while the DC in a circle emblem is on the upper left-hand corner. The DC logo is smaller than what I would consider the DC logo of the 1980s. The covers are all different scenes that don't necessarily correlate with the story. Rather, it sets up a tone or a possible scene of the comic and does not stick with an actual retelling of the narrative. Each cover is a painting by Bernie Wrightson and is beautifully done. Bernie was an artist known for co-creating The Swamp Thing with Len Wein. He did an adaptation of the Frankenstein novel as an illustrated work, and he also did other horror comics and illustrations. He's known for his trademark intricate pen and brushwork, and when you see these covers, you can see that there's some really great brushwork done on those. There are 22 pages in each issue. Where does this comic fit in the larger world of Marvel and DC? We need to give it some context of time. The comic book speculator market reached a saturation point in the early 1990s, and it finally collapsed a little bit after 1993. During that time, from about 1993 to 1997, two-thirds of all comic specialty stores closed, and there were a ton of publishers that were driven out of the business. But in the early 2000s, with the advent of some movies and some graphic novels and some other things, the comic book industry started to take off again. And I can't help but give DC credit for this time period and making comics relevant and part of the popular culture at this time. Specifically, in 2003, Publishers Weekly stated,
"During a year in which graphic novels were celebrated with a day of events and panels at Book Expo America, sales of book format comics continued to show striking growth in the book trade and in the comics specialty market. Blockbuster movies such as Daredevil, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and The Hulk, as well as the indie hit American Splendor, also helped stoke sales and brought comic book buyers into the general trade bookstores and comic shops looking for new graphic novels and various tie-ins and related titles."
So some other comics in 2003, and we'll start with the Batman universe. There was a debut of the series Gotham Central, and there was also Batgirl Year One. DC had also put out Superman Red Sun, which is also a DC Elseworlds title. In Marvel, we had the first issue of Runaways. We had Fantastic Four, Unstable Molecules. DC and Marvel teamed up to do the Justice League of America and Avengers co-production. And then independently, there was a graphic novel put out by Top Shelf called Blankets. These are some big titles during that time, and you can see why the comic book industry had started to shift, because the quality of writing had drastically increased as compared to what was coming out in the 90s. And now an overview for each issue of Batman Nevermore, starting with issue 1 of 5. The story opens in the autumn of 1831 in Baltimore, Maryland. Two police officers come across a body hanging behind a wall. Then 3 days later, another body is found. The dead person in this situation is actually clutching their own heart. All of these things come from the haunted mind of Len Wein and Edgar Allan Poe. The first chapter is called Once Upon a Midnight Dreary. The story is told from the perspective of our main character, Edgar Allan Poe. Mr. Poe is a journalist assigned to cover a story about an upcoming mask ball. He is introduced to the Gotham City Gentlemen's Club, who host the event, which gathers all of the city's elite for a night of festivities. Coincidentally, the two recent murders in the city of Baltimore earlier in the week were of individuals who were members of the Gentlemen's Club. Among those Mr. Poe meets is Bruce Wayne, not the Bruce Wayne of our world, but rather the same character set in the 1830s with the same background and commitment of fighting crime disguised as an antiquated Batman, complete with the stylized cowl, cape, and utility belt. Mr. Poe feels there is more to these recent murders, and against the wishes of his employer, the Baltimore Sun, he begins trying to make connections and solve the murders. The Gentlemen's Club want nothing to do with that and brush him off rather brusquely. Mr. Poe revisits one of the murder scenes and stumbles upon Batman. The two exchange their intentions and an informal alliance is made. The issue ends with Batman saving Mr. Poe from an attempt on Mr. Poe's life. Issues 2 through 5 continue in that similar manner. Each twist and turn in the story leaves you guessing as to who the murderer is. Poe and Batman continue to save each other's lives, and their detective skills provide a mutual respect between the two. The story ends in a grand reveal of whom the murderer is and the motivations behind the series of the killings. Each issue has Poe as the narrator. There are brief references to Poe's literary work. Batman is actually a secondary character to Poe in the series. We don't know the inner thoughts of Batman like we do Poe. In the end, the story resolves itself, but never closes the door for further adventures. There are no related characters or tie-ins for this particular series, but there are some things that cross over into Edgar Allan Poe's literary world. So for example, Arthur Golden Pym is a character based on a Poe story called The Narrative of Gordon Pym. This was published in 1838. It's an adventure that follows the main character, Gordon Pym, as he stows away on a whaling ship. Another character that's a direct reference to Poe's literary world is Lenore Usher. She is the female love interest of Edgar Allan Poe in this story. There is a poem called Lenore that was written by Edgar Allan Poe. There's also an M. Valdemar. He is a main character in a story called The Facts in the Case of M. Valdemar. Roderick Usher is also a character in this series, and that is a reference to Poe's short story, Fall of the House of Usher. Jonathan Crane actually is a character in this 5-series issue, who also happens to be a character in the DC universe in modern times. He is considered a villain of Batman in a number of storylines. Those are the only related characters or tie-ins that I could find, but none have a tie to the current DC universe in a manner that actually is considered canon. In terms of key issues, when I looked at my CLZ app, none of the issues are considered keys, minor or major. I find this interesting because normally a first issue is considered a key. My thoughts on reading this. Len Wein knew his Edgar Allan Poe stories. My guess is that this was probably a passion project for Len, but I'm only speculating here. The reading can be dense at times. If you're not used to a lot of narration boxes, it can be a bit time-consuming. Comics today don't have nearly the amount of narration that is present in this comic. It reminds me of Chris Claremont's work in his narration in the Uncanny X-Men of the 1980s. I liked that it was a finite series. To know that the story is contained in these issues helped me pace my reading. I didn't need to know any background on Edgar Allan Poe or Batman. All I needed to know was contained in the story. Having said that, if you have knowledge of Poe or Batman, it will enrich the story. There are lots of little references to Poe and his work throughout the story. Where might you find this comic and why you might want to explore it? Oddly enough, this series is not on the DC Infinite app as of 2024. It is also not collected in a trade paperback. This is one you'll have to do some digging for. On mycomicshop.com, issues run between $6 and $11 a piece, which surprised me. I've come across a back issue once in all of my time in digging in comic stores. I just don't see these issues out in the wild. This story has been referenced a couple different times in articles and related comics, so I am surprised it has not been reprinted or put together in a trade paperback. DC, if you're listening, I think this is a good story to bring out. Just saying. Why might you want to add this to your collection? If you love Edgar Allan Poe, this would be a fun way to see his work and life interpreted in comic form. If you're a fan of Elseworld DC stories, having a story focused on Batman, one of DC's biggest heroes, may be an easy way to ease into the Elseworld universe. I think if you like Batman, this is a new twist on a familiar character. You don't have to know the lore or reframe your thinking about Batman to enjoy it. He's the same Batman you know and love. Another reason to add this to your collection might be if you're a fan of Len Wein. I think this is a great story told by a master of the medium. It's clear he has a love of Poe and Batman. He shows a lot of respect to the histories of both characters. So that wraps up this episode of the History of Comics, The Short Runs. We'll be taking a couple weeks off. We have a big stack of comics here to read, and a lot of good suggestions have come in via email. So I'll be working through those things to look at season two. Really excited. I appreciate all those listeners up to this point. We've had some really good numbers, which has been great. I also want to thank the staff here at Center Neptune for working with us to get this podcast up and going for the first season. 4 episodes under our belt, that's quite the accomplishment. I want to thank our legal firm, Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, for all the technical and legal advice, particularly some of the copyright issues we've come into. I also want to say a big thanks to our local comic shops here in St. Louis. I'm fortunate enough to have about 4 or 5 comic shops that keep me pretty well supplied and keep me digging in the bins. We'll be back here in a couple weeks. Hope your world stays good. Keep reading those comics. And just as a reminder, this is a WLF Publications production.